thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. Obviously, Crisis Group shares the concerns of colleagues about the situation in Zimbabwe. As a matter of fact, Crisis Group has been following Zimbabwe for the last 8 years. We have produced a stream of reports on the Zimbabwe situation. The latest one is on the table, if you're interested. It was published just before the elections on the 20th of March. And describes the pre-electoral environment, and I think would agree with Otto that that the regional mediation has failed. As you know, the mediation objective was to produce a new constitution before the elections, and obviously Mugabe called for elections before the passage of the new constitution, which is in itself a failure. I would like to make just a few comments before I go to the policy issues and recommendations. The first comment I'd like to make is that it seems very clear now that the military is in charge of running things in Zimbabwe, and it's been the case since the 29th of March. This is the analysis that our team on the ground is offering. And there's a cabal of hardliners around Mugabe, including a number of high-level military officers. Not all military officers seem to be supporting Mugabe still, but a good number of them are. So that's that also explains, I think, the intimidation, the climate of intimidation that's going on right now. The other thing is, of course, we are very, very concerned about the possibility of violence. There's a lot of intimidation going on, as Georgette said. Over 200 army officers have been deployed around the country. War veterans have been strengthened again, and as you said, maybe other types of militias too. They've been burned houses in the areas where the MDC scored in the elections, and there are acts of retributions against agents of the electoral process in some areas of the country. And we are particularly concerned about reprisals against politicians, opposition politicians, MDC and other opposition politicians. In fact, following his regional tour, Tsvangirai has not returned to Zimbabwe, and we understand he has received a number of threats. I also would like to make a comment on SADC, and although I agree with you that the communique, the press release, is very disappointing, I think there is a change still that needs to be underlined. I think it shows, the last summit shows that there are serious divisions within the sub-region. The communique was the object of negotiation, quite lengthy negotiations, between, on the one hand, Zambia, Botswana and Mozambique, and I think Tanzania as well, and on the other hand, Beki, representing South Africa, Angola, DRC, and Namibia. And we have to remember here that DRC, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Angola were on the same side of the Congo War, the last Congo War that lasted from 1998 to 2002. They defended the Kabila regime, and so it looks like there's still an alliance, a quiet alliance there. Certainly DRC, Joseph Kabila, has a debt towards Mugabe. The second thing that I'd like to underline as far as change is concerned is that Mugabe did not attend the summit, which I think is a sign of weakness. He was represented by a number of quite hardline ministers, but he himself didn't turn up. And Tsvangirai was invited, which also is a diplomatic breakthrough. And he's now got audience with Zuma, with Gebusa in Mozambique, and with Kama in Botswana. And the last thing that I think is a significant development is the divide between the ANC now and Beki, or the government of South Africa. And that's also quite interesting to watch. Our Zimbabwe analyst, who was in town a few days ago, talked about a sunset president when he spoke about President Beki. But it looks like Beki is losing credibility within his own party, particularly over Zimbabwe. The Speaker of Parliament in South Africa also made quite a strong statement, along with other speakers of Parliament in the sub-region, expressing very strong concerns about Zimbabwe. Now, as far as recommendations are concerned, scenarios, options, I think we still need to push for publications of the results. This is really the best, objective that we can all have consensus around. once the results are published, there will be probably a push for a negotiated settlement, and I want to spend a little bit of time on that particular aspect. Tsvangirai himself has indicated willingness to consider a negotiated settlement or power sharing agreement, and I think he does that knowing perfectly well that the balance of forces in the country is not in his favor. Although the opposition has grown a lot over the last 7 or 8 years, ZANU-PF still controls the state, controls state resources, controls the state apparatus, and most of the military, certainly high command, and has been in power after 28 years. And it has been, as you know, a very centralized authoritarian regime. So I think Morgan Tsvangirai understands that he cannot just take over and run the country overnight. And this is very sad for democracy in Africa, but this is the reality. I mean, I think the transition is starting now, as a matter of fact. And so there will be some sort of accommodation between the two parties. And that's unfortunately the case in many other African countries, that, you know, elections can, and we saw that in Kenya, elections bring a change. When elections are peaceful, like they were in Kenya in 2002, the transition still has not been properly done. And this is, we saw what happened in the last round of elections in Kenya. The third recommendation is, as Georgette said, get the AU involved, because as we all discussed, as we all agreed, SADC is very dominated by South Africa, and we need to introduce other voices into the mediation. What's very important, and I'd like to stress here, is that the mediation has to be African-led. There is no, I can't see any third party coming from anywhere else than Africa. And I think that it would even be preferable for the mediator to be someone with an experience in African liberation struggle, because I can't see Mugabe listening to anybody else. And it would be somebody who would also be able to save face for Mugabe. And then, of course, there's a whole discussion about security guarantees. We understand from a number of corners that Mugabe and his cronies are concerned about his own security, and that he thinks about the Charles Taylor example, and he doesn't want that to happen to him. This is not being brought up at this stage, but this is certainly a concern that will have to be taken into account if anybody negotiates an exit for Mugabe. And the last point I want to make is that I think we should also push for the Security Council to consider Zimbabwe as a topic for discussion. The definition of Security Council concern is that the situation that they consider has to be a threat to international stability and security. And I think when you look at Zimbabwe, all the ingredients are there. There is intimidation against the opposition, with possible, you know, flight even of opposition politicians outside of Zimbabwe. There is increasing violence on the ground, and inflammatory rhetoric. There is electoral manipulation. There is an economic implosion, as George had said. Waves of migrants have crossed the borders, and they're running away from a politically engineered disaster. So they are not economic migrants per se. We can't call them, I think, political refugees either, but it's somewhere in between. And the fifth element, or fifth ingredient, is that we now have even divisions among the countries in the sub-region. And the last summit showed it very clearly. So it does have consequences of the region, and some countries of the region have already said we are concerned about this. Of course, the challenge will be South Africa, you know, which has the presidency of the Security Council. But maybe we should remind the South Africans that, you know, at the time of apartheid, international sanctions were internationally endorsed, and they helped them get out of that situation.